I still can't hear that well, so I'll try my best to answer your questions today and tomorrow. I know you have a lot of questions. So if someone has a good question that has not been asked before in the last few months or in the last year, so you can ask, inshallah. So the plan is to pick one brother, then one sister, then one brother, one sister. Yes. Who would like to start? Very good question. Okay, we'll begin with the sister. I can't hear anything.
So you don't have a in Ramadan. When you're fasting, like, and you have the muffins, you can't do that. But even let's say when your parents tell you read the Quran, right? And then you can't, like, can you touch the Quran?
Well, all the ulama agree that whatever your condition, you can read Quran from memory. And you can read Quran from your cell phone or iPad. The issue is when you need to touch the Quran, if the person doesn't have wudu or they have the time of the month, then, so again, they can wear gloves or they can use something. The safest way and the easiest way is just use a cell phone or your computer or iPad, and this is the easiest way. Otherwise, they have a difference of opinion. Of course, for educational purposes, so this is in regards to if you would like to read Quran because you love to read Quran. But if you have to read and touch the book because you have exams or for educational purposes you have to study in the classroom, the scholars are lenient and the ruling is flexible. Right? Because otherwise it will become difficult for a lot of sisters, especially sisters. We'll take a brother. Yes.
If you are supposed to give sadaqa from your right hand for it, how about if your hands are still
past,
do you still have to use your right hand?
Well, the brother is asking if you are supposed to use your right hand to give sadaqa, but what if you can't use your right hand? Like, it's broken or something, can you use your left hand? Yes, you can. There's a story of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and there was a walima or something, and he saw a man, one of the Sahaba, and he was eating with his left hand. So Umar radiallahu anhu was not happy, and he came to him and he said, okay, why don't you use your right hand? He said, my right hand is busy. He saw his hand, like, nothing wrong with his hand. So he said, okay, why don't you use your right hand? He said, my hand is busy. It turned out that he was in a battle and he was defending the place and his arm was hurt and he can't use it anymore. So this is why he had to use his left hand. You know. So in Islam, if you're not able to do something the right way, then the other way is acceptable. Right? Like if you cannot pray standing up, then you can sit down. It's acceptable because this is the best you can do. Right? Question from here? Yeah, I'll take this sister here.
If your praying outside of your nail polish on, does your prayer count?
Well, technically, if you make wudu, then you put the nail polish and you pray, your salah is acceptable. This is not the problem. The problem is with the next salah, if you need to make wudu, then you need to take off the nail polish. Unless I heard this, there's a new product, they call it halal nail polish, which is not water, which is not oil based. So basically it does not stop the water from reaching your nails. And I think the safest way is to use henna. Henna is acceptable anyway. So you can use henna for nail polish or something that doesn't prevent the water from touching the nails. I will take this guy in the back. We're coming this way, inshallah. Yes.
Does a girl have to wear a hijab when she's bald?
I can't hear anything.
Does a girl have to wear a hijab if she doesn't have any hair when she's praying?
She's not 11 years old?
No, she's not. If she doesn't have any hair.
I really don't know. I don't know. I heard a similar question, like In the books of Fiqh, they say when you wash your face, you start from here, where the hair starts, and you wash all this area. So one guy was asking, what if I don't have any hair over here? So the sheikh said, then you wash your face like this, right? I don't know, like, I don't know.
What do you mean? Like, if someone is sick and she doesn't have hair, is that what you mean? Or is she just...
No, when she's praying, does she have to wear a hijab?
Like, if she has cancer, for example, and she's using, chemotherapy and she lost all her hair? Technically, she should. Because it's not only the hair, it's part of the aura, like the head and the neck. So I think she should just cover up the best she can, inshallah. Okay. One sister. This sister is new, right? Yes. You never asked before. Okay. If someone is bleeding, say for example, it happens. You have wudu, you are coming to the musalla, there's a nail on the wall or something, or you hit the door and you start to bleed. There is a difference of opinion among the scholars. Some say you should, some say you shouldn't. I think, wallahu a'lam, the chosen opinion is you shouldn't. You don't have to. You can if you want, but you don't have to. There are different proofs in authentic ahadith. Like, say for example, in the Battle of Uhud, when some of the Sahaba were wounded when they were defending the Prophet ﷺ in Salah, they were bleeding when they are standing in Salah, and they continued their Salah. When Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, Umar al-Khattab, he was standing, he was the Imam, and someone stabbed him, and he was bleeding, and he continued until he lost his consciousness. But so technically, if there is a bleeding, then technically you can continue your salah or start the salah. If you want to make wudu, that's up to you. Especially if it's coming from the gums. Some people have issues in their gums. They bleed all the time. I used to have this issue a long time ago until I started to use the toothbrush and the toothpaste and toothbrush. So at some point it stopped. So if someone's gums bleed all the time, there's nothing you can do, because sometimes it happens inside the salah itself. And if we make it fard on you to always go and make wudu, it will become very difficult for a lot of people. And Islam's purpose is to make your life easy, not difficult. Another question from this guy. Yes. Yeah, so the point is, the Prophet ﷺ always liked to stay clean and nice, so he was using the miswak to clean his teeth. So that was the whole point. Even when he was fasting in Ramadan. We'll take a sister. Yeah, this sister. Yes. Like what? They always have hijabs in the masjid, so this wouldn't be a problem. You can figure something out. Maybe you can borrow one. Yeah, I'm sure you can figure something out, inshallah. I don't want to say this, but technically, the sisters are not obligated to pray in the masjid. So they don't have to pray in the masjid if they don't want to. If they want, they will get the reward. If they pray at home, they will get the reward, alhamdulillah. So either way, you will get the reward, so you don't have to worry too much about this situation, inshallah. Another question from this guy. This guy, yeah.
Okay, mommy, come back.
Sometimes it happens that someone, we have a situation that someone like loses their consciousness, they faint in the salah. So if you think that there's something serious going on or something is wrong with the guy and you need to save his life, then you stop your salah, go save his life. And as I mentioned maybe two times ago, if there is a fire next to the masjid, like the house next door to the masjid is on fire, everyone in the masjid, including the imam, the whole jama'ah, they have to stop the salah, go save one's life, or put the fire out and come back, continue their salah, to do the salah again. But if inside the salah there is one guy who fell down or someone, and you can save them, you can stop your salah and save them. And there are some videos on YouTube, someone is praying and they die in salah or they fall down. So maybe one guy or two guys again. But if the person is asleep and they're snoring, I don't know, I don't know. One last question, we'll take this sister here. So, if I heard correctly, if someone lost their memory, do they have to pray? Okay, so the sister is asking if someone lost his memory, or someone is very old and they have amnesia and they start to forget, what happened in the past is already written, right? So, what matters now is what comes in the future. Because if they don't remember Fatiha, if they don't remember Quran, if they don't know how to make Salah, in this case, Islam makes it easier for them. Basically, the obligations, khalas, are waived from them. I think I gave the example of a man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, very old, very old. And he took Shahada. And the Prophet ﷺ, it's an authentic hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ was explaining to him how to make salah. He tried to teach him Fatiha, Tahiyatullah, Tahiyat. The man couldn't remember anything because he was very old. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, this is how you pray. When you stand in salah, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. He made it very easy for him. So again, if someone has amnesia, what happened in the past, khalas, it is written. But what happens in the future is, they try to make ibadah as best as they can. If they can't, khalas. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the requirements for ibadah is for the person to be sane and for his mind to be present, to be able to understand what they are doing. Otherwise, they don't have to do anything. Allahu Akbar. Khalas, I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. I'll take the rest of the questions tomorrow. Because I have a meeting.